for?
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam Namaskritya Nanam Cheva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udireyed. Om Ajnana Timrandasya Gananjana Shalakya Chakshu Om Melitam Jainatas Mai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 4. I believe it's text number 14. Is that correct? Text 14. So, so we'll just do word for word. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rishabh. Rishabh. Samgya, named. Atmatantra, fully independent. Svayam, personally. Nitya, eternally. Nivritta, free from. Anatta, of things not wanted. Birth, old age, disease and death. Parampara, the continual succession, one after another. Kevala, only. Ananda Anubhavaha, full of transcendental bliss. Ishvaraha, the Supreme Lord, the Controller. Eva, indeed. Viparitavat, Viparitavat, just like the opposite. Karmani, material activities. Arabhammanaha, performing. Kalena, in course of time. Anugatam, neglected. Dharmam, the Vanashram Dharma. Achanena, by executing. Upashikshayan, teaching. Atat vidam, persons who are in ignorance. Samaha, equipoised. Upashantaha, undisturbed by the material senses. Maitra, very friendly to everyone. Karunikaha, very merciful to all.
Dharma, religious principles. Artha, economic development. Yasha, reputation. Praja, sons and daughters. Ananda, material pleasure. Amrita, eternal life. Avarodhena, for achieving. Griheshu, in household life. Lokam, the people in general. Niyamayat, he regulated. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Being an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Rishabhdev was fully independent because his form was spiritual, eternal, and full of transcendental bliss. He eternally had nothing to do with the four principles of material misery, birth, death, old age, and disease. Nor was he materially attached. He was always equipoised, and he saw everyone on the same level. He was unhappy to see others unhappy, and he was the well-wisher of all living entities. Although he was a perfect personality, the Supreme Lord and controller of all, he nonetheless acted as if he were an ordinary conditioned soul. Therefore, he strictly followed the principles of Vanashram Dharma and acted accordingly. In due course of time, the principles of Vanashram Dharma had become neglected. Therefore, through his personal characteristics and behavior, he taught the ignorant public how to perform duties within the Vanashram Dharma. In this way, he regulated the general populace in household life, enabling them to develop religion, economic, and enabling them to develop religion and economic well-being, and to attain reputations, sons and daughters, material pleasure, and finally eternal life. By his instructions, he showed how people could remain householders and at the same time become perfect by following the principles of Vanashram Dharma. Responsively, being an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Rishabhdev was fully independent because his form was spiritual, eternal, and full of transcendental bliss. He eternally had nothing to do with the four principles of material misery, birth, death, old age, and disease. Nor was he materially attached. He was always equipoised, and he saw everyone on the same level. He was unhappy to see others unhappy, and he was the well-wisher of all living entities. Although he was a perfect personality, the Supreme Lord and controller of all, he nonetheless acted as if he were an ordinary conditioned soul. Therefore, he strictly followed the principles of Vanashram Dharma and acted accordingly. In due course of time, the principles of Vanashram Dharma had become neglected. Therefore, through his personal characteristics and behavior, he taught the ignorant public how to perform duties within the Vanashram Dharma. In this way, he regulated the general populace in householder life, enabling them to develop religion and economic well-being and to attain reputations, sons and daughters, material pleasure, and finally eternal life. By his instructions, he showed how, he showed people how, he showed how people could remain householders. And at the same time, become perfect by following the principles of Padashram Dharma. Purport. The Vanashram Dharma is meant for imperfect, conditional souls. It trains them to become spiritually advanced in order to return home back to Godhead. A civilization that does not know the highest aim of life is no better than an animal society. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Nate vidu svatakatim hi vishnum. A human society is meant for elevation to spiritual knowledge so that all of the people can be freed from the clutches of birth, death, old age, and disease. The Vanashram Dharma enables human society to become perfectly fit for getting out of the clutches of Maya. And by following the regulative principles of Vanashram Dharma, one can become successful. In this regard, see Bhagavad Gita 3:21-24.
Namo Vishnuvaraya Krishna Prasthaya Buddhale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Bicharane Nivishisha Shunyavare Paskacha Dishitarane.
So Srila Prabhupada refers us here in this purport to his Bhagavad Gita. So we just quickly look at that. 3:21. And that verse is that whatever a great man performs, common men follow. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So, the obvious theme of the class today is Varnashram Dharma, which is a very much talked about topic in ISKCON. Many devotees have many different things to say about Varnashram Dharma. It's a huge topic. And many devotees have even written books on this topic. Srila Prabhupada has said many things about Varnashram Dharma. So how does it apply to you and to me? And how does it apply? Let's say, for example, we're all here in Mayapur. How does it apply? What does it mean? Do you have to change anything? Do I have to change anything? What does it mean? Here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada sums it up in one sentence. Not one book, not a huge elaboration of so many. Of course, you know, there are many different points and angles of vision within the Vanashram Dharma. But Srila Prabhupada says here in the first sentence in the purport, the Vanashram Dharma is meant for imperfect, conditional souls. Full stop. I'll repeat. Srila Prabhupada, the Vanashram Dharma is meant for imperfect, conditional souls. So, It is stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita that essential truth spoken concisely is true eloquence. When you can sum up a very difficult topic in one sentence, that is true eloquence. That is true conciseness. So here, Srila Prabhupada sums it up. It's meant for imperfect conditional souls. So is there anyone who is exempt from this? Are there any among us who are free from being imperfect? What are the four defects of every human being? The tendency to commit mistakes, to be illusioned. To err is human. So imperfect souls and conditioned souls. So Vanashram Dharma doesn't apply to who? The perfect souls and the liberated souls. If we are liberated, and if a person is perfect, then the Vanashram Dharma doesn't apply. So, Srila Prabhupada said many things about Vanashram Dharma within his books and also within his letters and within his instructions and instructions within his letters and also throughout different conversations. Many devotees asked Srila Prabhupada, you know, how are we going to organize this Varnashram Dharma? Who is the Brahmin? Who is the Kshatriya? Who is the Vaishya? And who is the Sudra? Who are those devotees who are transcendental to that? So, one thing Srila Prabhupada did say here in Mayapur, that on a morning walk conversation, is that 50% of his mission is to establish Vanashram Dharma within ISKCON. 50%. So, now, how do we understand that? What does that mean? That do we to become, perfect and liberated souls? One becomes perfect in Krishna consciousness if one follows perfectly in the footsteps of the previous acharyas, sato vritte. We follow perfectly in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. And Srila Prabhupada explains that if a non-liberated soul follows the instructions of a liberated soul, then that non-liberated soul becomes liberated by dint of his perfection in following the instructions of a liberated soul. So that's one definition of liberation that Srila Prabhupada gives. So the topic of Vanashram Dharma has been discussed by many devotees. How should we differentiate between those devotees who are Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Sudras? Krishna gives the description. He says, Chatu Vanyam Maya Shrishtam Guna Karma Vibhaga Shaha. Guna Karma. So how do we differentiate between who is a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra? Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, Guna and the Karma. Guna means the quality, karma means of the activity. What is the quality of that devotee's activities? And we see, we have many different devotees and they have different qualities of activities by which they can be recognized. the symptoms, the qualities of the Brahmins, are they peaceful? Samadama tapaso cham ajavam eva ganam evacha. The Brahmins are very peaceful, they are austere, they are knowledgeable, they give knowledge, they receive knowledge. These are the symptoms of Brahmins. The Kshatriyas, Yud, they like to fight, they like power, they're very heroic, they will take on heroic activities. The Vaishyas can be seen by doing business, commercial activities, and the Sudras are rendering service to the others, the other four classes. So within Vanashram Dham, if anyone is serving Krishna, then they are a Vaishnava. So we have Brahman Kshatriya Vaishya Sudra, and then we have Vaishnava. And a Vaishnava is prepared to do any of those four activities for Krishna. Whereas we see instances in Krishna's pastimes where the Brahmanas were more attached to their Brahminical activities than to Krishna. Whereas a Vaishnava, although he may be a Brahman, if Krishna desires that he do any other activity, the Vaishnava is immediately willing to do whatever is required in Krishna's service. And the prime example is Srila Prabhupada himself. He engaged in doing all sorts of activities for Krishna. He did Brahminical work. He did the administration of ISKCON. He also engaged in the transcendental business activities of printing his books and buying and selling. And one time here in Mayapur in 1974, when some life members came, I saw Srila Prabhupada personally serving the life members and cleaning their table where they were eating, and also cleaning up after them, just to show us the example. So Srila Prabhupada would engage in any kind of especially in the beginning days, Srila Prabhupada did so many menial services in order to establish ISKCON. So that is a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is prepared to do whatever is required to Krishna, for Krishna. Any kind of service. Just like when the gopis were called upon, they would immediately drop everything and then go to the calling of Krishna. So tomorrow, I'm going to deviate a little bit here. Tomorrow is the very auspicious appearance day of Sri Balaram, Lord Balaram. And I'm not sure if the speaker tomorrow is going to say anything about Lord Balaram or not, but I cannot resist. I would like to say a little something about Lord Balaram because it's his most auspicious appearance day tomorrow. And home to Vrindavan after a long time. So when Lord Balaram arrived in Vrindavan, he was greeted with a very wonderful, ecstatic festival headed by Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda Mai and the cowherd boys and the gopis. It was a huge festival. And first of all, Lord Balaram engaged in greeting the different residents of Vrindavan according to his different relationships with them. It is described there that some of the devotees in Vrindavan were his seniors. So then he would offer them respects. And then those devotees who were his equals, he would embrace them and shake hands and laugh with them and joke with them and have friendly exchanges. And with those devotees who were junior to him, he conveyed their blessings upon them. So in this way, Lord Balaram was greeted, and he also exchanged those greetings in those different ways according to Vedic culture. So even Lord Balaram was following the principles of Vanashram Dharma, which is to respect the different elders within the community. So it then is described that Nanda and then Jasodamayi got Balaram and started hugging him as if he was a little baby again. Started hugging him as if, because the last memory she had of Balaram is when he was a little, when he was in the Kumara age. And of course, she very much enjoyed that exchange, and also Jasodamayi, she also enjoyed remembering Lord Balaram in that way. So then the gopis came to Lord Balaram and they started complaining about Krishna. They said, oh, why didn't Krishna come? Krishna has forgotten about us. They started lodging all these complaints about against Krishna because they were feeling intense separation. And so one gopi said one thing, another gopi said another thing, another gopi had another complaint. So Lord Balaram was listening to all their complaints. And one gopi said, oh, he's a cheater. He says, oh yes, I'm going to come back and I'll always be with you. But then he didn't come back. He's left us here with intense feelings of separation. So this, of course, was their very ecstatic love that which was being expressed for Krishna. So then Lord Balaram felt, obviously, a lot of empathy for the gopis. So then it's described that Lord Balaram stayed in Vrindavan for something like 2 months and enjoyed conjugal relationships with all the gopis on behalf of Krishna. So that the gopis' remembrance of Krishna was facilitated through Lord Balaram. So, and then on one occasion, Lord Balaram was quite intoxicated by the Varuni beverage, honey that was sent by Lord Kuvera, one of the demigods. So Lord Balaram said to the Jamuna River, come here, I want to take bath. And Lord Balaram, when he didn't get any response, he got angry with the Jamuna River and said, if you don't come here, I'm going to drag you here with my plow. And even today, we see that there are Jamuna has many different rivulets from the plow of Lord Balaram. So finally, Jamuna Devi came to her senses and appeared before Lord Balaram personally, the Jamuna personified, and said, please forgive me, my Lord. And so Lord Balaram was pacified, and thereafter Lord Balaram enjoyed his pastimes in the Jamuna River with the gopis under the full moon. So that occasion is being celebrated tomorrow. Tomorrow is Purnima, the full moon day of Lord Balaram. Is it not? Yes, tomorrow. So, anyway, tomorrow is a very auspicious day. Somehow or other, we should remember Lord Balaram, do some tapasya for Lord Balaram, and in this way, we will get the mercy of Krishna. So it's almost time to finish. Today we spoke about Vanashram Dharma, a little tiny bit, and we spoke about Lord Balaram's appearance day coming up tomorrow. So are there any questions, comments, or corrections? Hari Bol, yes, Hari Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you for a nice class. I had a very general about your description of Varnashram. You mentioned there's been many discussions about Srila Prabhupada's intention for Varnashram, and my question was, is there any consensus that you're aware of as to whether it's primarily for organizing ISKCON or for organizing the society in general, if, you know, as the golden age of Lord Chaitanya would expand to the point where...
So the question is there any consensus that Vanashram Dham is for organizing ISKCON, or is it for the society in general? Is that correct? Right. So, we in ISKCON, we have the Vanashram Dham ministry, and they have been, dealing with this topic for many, many years. Whether or not they have reached any conclusion or not that it applies to ISKCON or that it applies to society in general, I'm not aware of any such conclusion that has been reached. But if any of the honorable Vaishnavas in the assembly here is aware of any conclusion that has been reached, we would very much appreciate to hear from them.
Thank you.
Gita Nagari Prabhu.
In the beginning of your talk on Vanashram Dharma, you said, and I've heard this often said by other people, that liberated souls do not have to follow the Vanashram Dharma system. So, why is it that a liberated soul has the license to be socially irresponsible by not following the Vanashram Dharma system?
So the essence of your question is that why is it that you know, a liberated soul could be in a position of being irresponsible?
Socially
irresponsible.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't have to follow the rules and regulations of society.
So if he acts like a liberated soul, then he can act irresponsibly socially. Do you have any examples of that?
Well, Shabdev himself, when he came to the end of his leela, he walked around naked, without any clothes. That's pretty socially irresponsible these days. If you were to do that in America, I don't know how far you would get before the police would come and arrest you. So that would be one example. Nityananda Babu, we can keep on going. You got the idea.
Okay, that's they're good examples. But there's also the example of Maharaj Nabi, who was a liberated soul, but followed the principles of Vanashram Dharma to set the example. So that's also very instructive. So I think that, you know, from what we read in the Bhagavatam, we could conclude that generally the liberated souls will set the proper example, just like Prabhupada refers us to this verse in Bhagavad Gita that whatever the great men do, others will follow. So similarly, the general lesson that we learn from Bhagavatam is that we should set the right example and follow the principles of Vanashram Dharma. But you will get the exceptions, like who are totally liberated avadutas, but they are not to be imitated. So we should follow the... we should not act irresponsibly, socially, but we should act responsibly according to the principles of Vasudeva Dharma.
I'd like to follow up on the previous question as to why or whether the ministry of Vasudeva Dharma has reached a conclusion or a consensus on the matter of administrating Vasudeva Dharma in ISKCON or in society at large instead. But I would present it, I would rephrase it as being, after so many years of the ministry's existence, why would they not have reached a consensus on such an essential question for ISKCON? That would be more my question.
So Vasudeva Prabhu's question is that why has the Vasudeva Dharma ministry not reached a consensus?
In other words, what is the huge stumbling blocks that would prevent them to do so?
I think Srila Prabhupada answers the question right here in the first line of this purport. The Vasudeva Dharma system is meant for imperfect conditioned souls. So if the ministry of Vasudeva Dharma were simply to repeat that one sentence from Srila Prabhupada, I think that would be sufficient. But it doesn't answer that question. Is it applicable to ISKCON or is it applicable to society in general?
The reason it's not sufficient is because Prabhupada also said the opposite, that all ISKCON members, if they strictly follow, they are perfect.
Yes. So, yes, Prabhu, you want to answer that question? Oh. So my answer to that question is we look forward to, you know, some future enlightenment from the Vasudeva Dharma ministry. Yes, Prabhuji?
Hare Krishna. Hare Bhagavan.
Hare Krishna.
There's a famous lecture in Mayapur with Srila Prabhupada and Satsarup and Harisori Prabhu. And they're discussing Varnashrama, and Harisori and Satsarup are presenting the that from the very beginning you're telling him we're not the body. So now why we want to put these designations, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra? Prabhupada said, no, he said, you're not Brahmas, Brahmanas, Vaishnavas, Sudras, etc. He says, you're Vaishnav, you're devotees of Krishna. He said, just as a king on the stage, he's playing as a king, but he's not a king, he's just an actor. He says, so similarly, we may be acting as a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, but we're not. We're identifying ourselves as the servant of Krishna. Then Harisori was saying that, yeah, but usually, you know, the system is, you know, we get Brahman initiation, then everyone later on, they want to get, first they get Diksha, and then they want to get Brahman initiation. It's a progression. Prabhupada said, not necessary everyone will do that. He said, well, who wants to remain a Sudra, Prabhupada? He said, no, you're not Sudras. You're servants of Krishna. You can remain in any position, just as an actor is acting. So, and then Prabhupada said, but he said, so you have to do it. You have to set the example. Otherwise, how will they follow? So he's indicating that it was for the public at large. They should have, and ISKCON should be the example, setting the example for the public to follow.
Yes, and Srila Prabhupada actually ends the purport that we read today on that very note, where he says that that the whatever actions that are performed by the leaders, all the common people will follow. So we should we learn from what Janani Vas Prabhu just recounted from that conversation with Srila Prabhupada and Hari Sori Prabhu is that we should set the right example. So how does that apply to each individual? Is that we should just carry out our responsibilities. If someone is a grihastha, we should do grihastha duties properly. If someone is a sannyasi, do the sannyasi duties properly. If someone is a vanaprast, brahmachari, like that. Okay, do you have a question, Prabhu?
I have another comment. Bhakti Vidyapurna Swami Raj gave a very nice example of a very easy way to understand Varnashram and how we identify with ourselves with it if we're going to implement it. He said, how do you earn your money? Mm. How do you get your money? If you get your money by donation, you're a Brahmana. If you get your money by taxation, you're a Kshatriya. If you get your money by doing starting a business, you're a Vaishya. If you get your money from serving others, you're a Sudra. Mm. It's quite a simple example to see what classification you come under. Anybody can do that. How do I get my takas? How do I earn money?
Yeah, very good. That's a very excellent point. Very good point. That you can tell who is a Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra by how they earn their money. The Brahmanas live off donations. But then, and this is a very vexed point that which comes up, is that when traditionally the Brahmanas, they would go and they would teach. And they would get a donation for their teaching. But in this age, because nobody's educated into the Varnashram principles, if the teacher doesn't ask for the money as like a fee, then he won't get the money. So what's your comment on that? That should a Brahmana insist that they give a fee for their benefit, or should he just not remind them and hope that they'll give, and most of the time they won't give? I know what my policy is. What's your take on that?
It's part of the system. Everybody knows you give the teacher remuneration. But they had the tal, what they call the tal. They would sit under a tree and have their students and wherever they were. And it was just the duty of the students to bring something. It may not have been money, but it may have been apple, may have been some fruit, maybe some rice or something. But that was they would always bring the teacher something. So at least he could eat.
Just like we were doing Bhakti Shastri courses in UK. And so the question came up about the teachers, you know, how do they earn their money? So, you know, and should these courses be free or should they not be free? And of course there had to be, and actually the in Vedic culture, if somebody receives knowledge, any kind of knowledge, without giving dakshin, then that knowledge won't bear proper fruit. In order for that knowledge to bear proper fruit, there has to be that reciprocation. So what we found in the practical world in the teaching is that when our brahmanas were teaching, we had to set it up in such a way, no, you have to give a donation. You have to give, because this is you have to insist and say that they give that donation so that the reciprocation is right. I'm just adding that point that the difference between in the traditional days, everybody would just give it voluntarily because they knew that that was a system. And even sometimes we go to cultured Indian families, they will naturally give dakshin. But in the Western countries, we have to teach them how to give that dakshin. But that's a very nice point about, Brahman Kshatriya Vaishya Sudra, like the Sudras, they earn their money by working for others. And the Vaishyas by doing business. And the Kshatriyas by, what is it, earning taxes. By taxes, also by being part of the government, and also land acquisition is also Kshatriyas, and then the Brahmanas by teaching. Okay, I think we better stop there. Grantharaja Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Nitai, go permanently.
Mm-hmm.